Welcome back to The Streak Easy, our new spinoff podcast presented by The Geek Easy Podcast, where we're going back and watching all of The Undertaker's WrestleMania streak matches. I am Pixel Dan.
Jonathan Leonard.
And Jaron McCaffrey.
What's going on, guys?
I don't know if it's our new spinoff anymore, bro. We're halfway through its lifespan.
That's true. I guess I should remove the word new. It's a buzzword. I'm trying to get people excited, right?
Click on the word new.
Clickbait.
Yeah.
New, exciting, amazing Undertaker podcast.
I'm still learning the internet. My apologies.
Man, that's not.
You'll never believe match number three. That's just the name of the episode now.
Undertaker had this to say.
I figured out the internet. That's how we get likes.
And the ending will shock you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're watching Shockmaster stuff now.
Oh.
All right, so we are on fourth episode now, right? We're plowing through.
Yep.
And we actually have four matches to discuss today, which is really exciting.
Four for four.
Four for four.
Also, there'll be four for five and also, four for six.
Yes, I was saying we're at four matches for the next three, but that'll bring us up to current times. So let's just go ahead and jump right in. Where do we start at today? Where are we at?
All right, today we start at WrestleMania 19, which I'll just go ahead and throw out there is my favorite WrestleMania.
Yeah,
I think it is the greatest WrestleMania of so far.
That was Hogan McMahon, right?
Hogan McMahon, Rock Austin 3, Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
Triple H, Booker T.
Man, Chris Jericho was so good. I was watching these, and I was kind of cutting it close to recording time. So, like, I was like, I need to get through these Undertaker matches.
Yep.
And I had to stop myself from watching Hogan McMahon. I don't know. Like, I was like, Hogan McMahon's on this show.
I really
want to watch Hogan. And I had to, like, stop myself. I was like, no, I got to plow through with these Taker matches.
Yep.
So now I might just go back and watch some WrestleMania 19 after this.
Yep. It's a good one. It's my favorite one.
Was this, since we've started talking about these, was this the first event that was in this big of an arena? Because it feels like this is the first time we've seen this.
The first with Taker or the first WrestleMania?
No. The first since we started talking about these Taker matches.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like this is the biggest arena we've seen so far. But I might be misremembering.
It's the first. Well, you are because you know they're not even close to WrestleMania 3.
Right, but
and they're not. You know, and they're not close to
Houston.
That
which would have been right before this.
Houston.
2 years before was that. It was 17, I think, was Houston.
Yeah.
I guess.
18 was pretty big. This is the first one. So this was in Safeco Field.
Yeah.
So this was the first one where it felt like.
It's an outdoor show, too.
Yeah, it felt like it's a big outdoor arena.
Yeah.
But the building itself, I mean, they had been in, you know, WrestleMania 3 was huge. They'd been
right.
in Toronto was a big
okay,
arena.
I guess like Rock Hogan was in a really big place, right?
This, so you know, I don't was that was well that was the Sky Dome,
right?
Yeah, so that was big.
They've been in the Sky Dome twice.
Okay.
It's the first one that feels like because WrestleMania 9 was an outdoor show.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was small. Caesar's Palace was still small,
tiny. Yeah.
Right, it was like in their courtyard,
like
I
little
think.
Bleachers. Yeah, seriously, like little bleachers set up.
You know, so this is the first outdoor arena.
Okay.
Yes.
Something about this just felt huge when I was watching it, and we've seen a lot of WrestleManias. I guess it's just because nowadays they are always in those arenas.
Right.
That's all they do WrestleMania now.
Well,
so we've gone back and watched some of these manias where they've been in little venues,
yeah,
and they look so different.
Well, and the next year after this, they're at the Garden.
Yeah, they're at the Garden.
Has about 15 seats.
Yes.
Well, if you remember though, this is the year. That was the year of the switch. So they did this one, 19, at Safeco Field. It was huge. It was outdoor. It felt huge. And then they went back to Madison Square Garden the next year. And immediately after they were done at Madison Square Garden, Vince announced that's the last WrestleMania that'll ever not be in a big arena. So
because they went back to the Garden because it was the 20th anniversary and everything like
I think, that's why they did that.
But they just figured out that they outgrew it.
I always like watching them in the Garden because it's got that cool feel.
Yeah.
But it was kind of amazing going from this show to that show back to back and seeing just the way the atmosphere felt so different for WrestleMania between the two shows. It was crazy.
This was almost my favorite Mania, but Lesnar ended up surviving that dumb shooting star spot.
Yeah.
Awesome. So this is a triple, or a, not triple threat, a, it's a handicap match. Yeah.
Getting to the Undertaker.
Yes, yes, getting to the Undertaker. So it's Undertaker versus Big Show and A-Train.
Yeah.
Albert, so Lord Tensai.
We also have to remember, though, that this was a tag team match up until Heat.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Undertaker was supposed to be tagged up with Nathan Jones, who they decided just was not good enough to do anything.
I think, like, rumor has it that the Undertaker made the decision that he was too green and didn't want him in the match.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Because I'm almost positive that immediately after this WrestleMania, we just never saw Nathan Jones again, because I think they shipped him back to developmental.
Pretty quick.
And then we just never saw him again. Yeah. Like, he quit wrestling.
Yeah, so. I don't think he even went back to developmental. he had been on, because they picked him up, he had wrestled Jeff Jarrett on... There were the three. There were three pay per views that were, they were like the precursor to TNA starting up. What were those? I had them all on VHS. They were not good. But they had some cool stuff on them. I can't remember what they are, so we won't dwell on them. But they had picked him up. He had been on one of those, and they called him the front row Nathan Jones.
Huh.
And. Yeah, he was a big giant guy, and then like.
Well, he just looks.
He was one of those guys that they brought him in and were immediately pushing him to the moon.
Yeah,
and then just nothing.
But he looks like the typical Vince guy, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He was big, so Vince was like main event.
Yep,
yeah. And that's what happened.
Vince has that tendency to find a look and push it, and hope, and more often than not, it fizzles out.
Yeah, exactly. So this is our last WrestleMania with the American Badass.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. We got the live music with Limp Bizkit. With WWE's favorite band, Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually accidentally watched their whole concert.
Me too.
Because you remember. So I remembered that they did their concert, and then at the end of the concert, the Undertaker came out. So when I was scanning through trying to find the match, when I came to their concert, I was like, "Oh, this is it. I'll just watch this." Which, first of all, can I just is there 15 members of that band? Like they have like two DJs and a drummer and seven guitar players and Fred Durst and.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was probably a thing where Fred Durst was just like, I got invited to Mania. I'm just going to bring an entourage with me because I'm Fred Durst, and I'll just do that. I don't know, man. Like, do you remember in the last episode when we were talking about American Badass and how when Roland hit for the first time, I got kind of, like, excited and marked out?
Yeah.
This time, it was very different.
Oh, yeah?
Like, when Fred Durst is out there performing Roland for an hour, I was just like... I'm over it.
He did
I'm
too,
done.
Man.
Over
he
it.
Watch him run around and flip off the
flip
ground.
Flip it off everybody because he's so cool and edgy.
That Houston Rock Austin match, the video package for that, though, that Limp Bizkit like video package there. Like, because of that, I will always upon Limp Bizkit favorably, even though they've only ever done one good thing.
I was going to say.
And that package being amazing, like, I won't say it has nothing to do with them, but I'm sure there's... other songs you could have put there and it still would have been amazing, but something about that package that's still one of my favorite
promo
packages.
It's one of the best WrestleMania
ever.
Packages ever. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not even going to sit here and pretend like I wasn't a Limp Bizkit fan or that I don't enjoy the occasional Limp Bizkit song when I feel the itch to put one on now and then, which doesn't happen as often these days, but I don't know. I was just done with this.
And we can't decide for like our age range. Yeah. There's those couple songs that define that era.
Yes.
Like Chainsaw and
what?
There was.
The song from that package is probably my favorite Limp Bizkit song, honestly. The Nookie song was real big.
I did it all for
remember? I forgot that song existed.
Nookie. I know, right? That was like that. That music just defines that era, right?
That's what I'm saying.
That is just
yes.
We were all like, at that time, and now we're all looking back, like, what the
how
world?
How bad was this?
What was wrong with music back then?
Yeah.
I'm sure I got into one or two of them at the time, but you guys got to remember, I've been 60 since I was 15.
I was gonna say, that's no joke. Yeah, that's no joke.
All right, so Taker comes down. Man, he came down that ramp, right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
I was sure he was going to crash.
Right. He was on his motorcycle, and he just opened it up down that ramp and let it fly. And Had anything happened, that would have been bad. I can just imagine everybody backstage in Gorilla going, don't look. somebody tell me when he's done.
I bet somebody bet.
None of us are looking, Bruce.
I bet somebody was like, hey, how fast can you go?
You kidding me? You kidding me? Taker's an old biker. He's like, hey, watch this.
He said they were probably wide-eyed when it happened because they were probably all sitting back there thinking, well, there's no way he's just going to open it up.
Yeah.
you guys want to see me give Vince a heart attack? Just watch. Watch my entrance.
But he is also super jacked here.
I was getting ready to say the exact same thing. How good does he look?
Man.
Like, I noticed it immediately. I was like, this is the best I think The Undertaker has ever looked.
Yes.
He was in killer shape.
Yeah, man. even when he was younger and thin, he was almost gangly a little.
Yeah.
You know, and here he then he got heavy for a little bit.
Yeah.
And here he is just
he looked good.
Jacked.
This was like prime Mark Calloway right here, man. Yep. He looked great. He also moved good.
Yeah,
like
man.
I wouldn't say so, like, you want to go ahead and start with what do you got for the open there?
Well, no, I was just going to say, you know, like You get to see here what I was talking about in some of the other matches where, like, he gets to the end and it's like, is he gassed or is he selling?
Yeah.
I think, and you know, and I would be like, I think he's gassed.
Yeah.
You know, I think he looks like he's gassed, like he's out of breath and tired and getting through it at the end. I think you can really see what I mean here. He is not gassed here.
No,
he does not sell through that. You can see the difference.
Yeah. So, when you say this is a handicap match and The Undertaker is going to fight The Big Show and A-Train, I think probably everybody's simultaneous reaction is, ugh.
Yeah.
You know? But
I groaned when I started.
Yeah. Yep. And I felt the same way. Like, I turned it on and I was like, well, this match is going to be farts probably. Because I didn't really remember.
Hey, no matter how old I am, that's funny.
Yeah. And boy, I was shocked at how good this match actually is.
Yeah.
Those guys, all three of these guys brought it. They all brought it. And we cannot even understate how into it this crowd is.
Yep.
Through the entirety of this match, this giant arena is in for the whole thing.
Yep.
And that, like we've talked about before, that always helps
with
the overall feel of a match when the crowd's really giving the energy because the wrestlers feed off that energy. And man, I was just real impressed with this match.
Yeah, yep. A-Train, Albert, Matt Bloom, Tensai, whoever. Man, he looked really good here.
Uh-huh.
You know, he looked so good here. I was like, how did they not get more out of him after this? You know, he looked so good. He was right in place. The Big Show was mobile.
Yeah.
And Taker was just commanding that ring at every point.
Man,
it was so
good.
And you know, it was three near 7-footers, over 300 pounders, and they did not stop moving. The action in this match did not stop moving. I remember watching this match live with that. Like I remember this match.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it live going, Nathan Jones. Oh, good. Well, Nathan Jones isn't in anymore. Handicap match for The Undertaker.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the easy reaction that everybody would have.
Yep. And then they got out there and I was like, this is amazing. This is the best handicap match in the history of handicap matches.
WrestleMania'd it, for sure.
Big Show, I feel like, is always one of those guys who has this kind of stigma about him, like that he can produce a lot of duds with lack of a better phrasing or whatever.
That's because he's produced a lot of
duds. Yeah, but he's always been one of those guys who like Big Show can perform. He doesn't always.
Yeah.
But sometimes you forget that he can, and then he really shows up for something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
And this is what he showed up for.
Yep.
But also, Albert is I think Albert's one of those guys who is a really smart wrestler.
Yeah.
I know we never saw like a ton of big things out of him in the WWE particularly, but I know he was pretty big in Japan.
Yeah,
and Giant
Bernard.
Yeah, and now he's like one of the trainer guys in WWE, and I know he does commentary for NXT and stuff too, but he's one of the developmental guys. So he's totally one of those guys that's smart. He's a smart wrestler.
Yeah.
He gets it. So just because we never saw him do big things, I mean, You know, there's some of those guys are just like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I was real impressed with some of the move sets I saw in this match. Like, I feel like Taker was just like, I'm going to try all kinds of new things tonight, guys. like he was doing, like, what was it, like, he was doing, like, crazy arm bars and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Like, he grabbed, like, Albert and put him in an arm bar, and then Big Show broke it up, and he immediately grabbed Big Show and put him in a different kind of arm bar. Yeah.
Taker working those arm bars.
Yeah. I was like, what? When did this become part of his repertoire? But okay. Like, he was just, yeah, man. He was doing some cool stuff. God, what was the other thing I noticed? Like, because there was... I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah. Maybe if we're talking about it, I'll bring it up.
No, I mean, that's pretty much all I got.
Okay.
So, I mean, this match was as good as it could have been. Yeah. Probably a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably a little bit better.
Exceeded a lot of expectations, for sure.
Nathan Jones did make a run in at the end of the match. And, like, he did... Oh, I know I want to bring... There were some good... Like, some of the spots were awesome. Like, Albert hit that awesome Sheamus kick.
Yeah,
in the middle of the match, which looked sick.
I don't think they called it that.
No, they called it the axe kick or whatever it really is. Yeah. But like,
it'd have been awesome if they would have called it
the Sheamus kick. I always just call it the Sheamus kick, just have been forever, even though they call it brogue kick now. But I thought that was real sick, the way, like, cause it was just a good, it connected good.
Yeah. And then, well, that was his move. That was his move.
Okay.
Like, he used that as a finisher for a while.
So
That and the Baldo bomb. I don't know, that was a signature for sure.
Was
but.
This... Okay, and I watched all these matches, so let me. Hopefully, I'm not jumping. Is this the match where they worked the ab stretch a bunch?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was
because they kept doing
that's the other
reach
thing.
In.
That's the other thing I was gonna bring up because, like, all of a sudden, yeah, like they're working the abdominal stretch, and it's so funny to see like these 3 7-foot dudes, and they're like, let's work an ab stretch spot. Like,
right.
That's just totally right. So I thought that was kind of funny because Taker the one that hooked it first, or did he reverse it?
Well, I think he reversed it. Taker was definitely in it because they were doing the cheat where Big Show had
Big
it.
Big Show hooked it.
And so Big Show would reach out. And
so Big Show's
A-Train would pull on it.
Big Show's ab stretch looked bad. I didn't like it.
Okay.
His feet were positioned weird, and I was kind of going, oh, ab stretch, huh? Okay, that's good job, guys. But I thought that was real fun though. It's just a weird thing you don't normally see the big guys do. But yeah, man, this match was awesome.
For everybody listening who's never seen Danny wrestle, one of his favorite moves is the ab stretch. He's the master of the ab stretch. So that's why he randomly decided to pick on that move.
Okay, that's fair.
That's also why I was sitting here shaking my head.
Even I didn't notice that.
Come on. It was bad.
No, I'm not disputing that it was. I'm just pointing out why of everything
why
they
I
did.
Why I was picking it
up. Yeah, you're like, because you know the move. It's fine.
I just don't like when guys hook the ab stretch, but it like looks lazy. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, sometimes you see guys hook that move and they just kind of like, they just stand there and they don't look like they're actually doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to apply that move, like make it look like you're stretching the dude's side. Okay, I'm done.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Dan.
Yeah.
But that's why you're the master.
Oh, okay. That's
and everybody
fair.
Else just like does it. The ab stretch.
This is my favorite show.
So when Nathan Jones came and did his run-in, he did that crazy, like, spin
big
kick on
high
the outside.
Spin kick.
It looked like he just legit knocked out the Big Show.
He probably did.
Like, Big Show just flopped down to the ground like he was dead. Yep. And I was like, oh! And then I thought it was kind of funny, like, so we got the tombstone again, which is awesome.
Yep.
Crowd always marks out huge for Taker doing the tombstone. Because especially when he was the American Badass, it was very rare that he did the tombstone. So he hit the tombstone to hit the match.
Only at Mania.
Yeah, so he hits it to finish the match, and Nathan Jones has all that intensity. And I thought this part was really funny, and I don't know if you guys noticed it, because Nathan Jones is all excited, and he's jacked up. Taker doesn't even look at him.
Doesn't even look at him.
Doesn't even look at him. Walks right past him, is just out.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, there's some serious like shade going
on. Well, he does come back. He wanted to get he went and got the flag.
Yeah.
And they went back and waved the flag. But even then, he was not.
Dude, he gave Nathan Jones straight up the cold shoulder. I was almost like he didn't really approve of the spot, but went with it anyway, and that's what it felt like to me.
Yep.
But all in all, I would recommend watching this.
This is one to go watch.
Absolutely.
One to go watch.
Because
just go watch WrestleMania 19.
Yeah, just watch the whole thing. You will enjoy it. All right, where does that bring us?
That brings us to WrestleMania 20.
Okay, all right. So this WrestleMania, guys. Before we talk about this match, we have to do the thing again where we talk about the build-up. Because you probably remember how amped I was for this. Because this was the time when I was getting so crazy that I started like putting notes on people's parked cars that said bong and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because I was so excited for The Undertaker coming back. I was like sending you guys random text messages that said bong all the time.
Yep.
I started playing mind games on everybody. Yeah. That was my thing.
I forgot you had started that. Yeah. Funny story there too. I think it's probably appropriate for the podcast. I don't know. Not terribly long ago, I was leaving work, and I work close to another friend of ours who used to wrestle with us, and I was walking to the parking garage with someone I worked with, and this other guy from another building who I just know or whatever had written bong on my trunk, just like on dust or whatever was built up there with an exclamation point doing the Undertaker thing or whatever. Except I was walking out there with not a wrestling fan at all. So we're just walking around talking, and we walk up to my car, and like she stopped first, and then I stopped, and I looked at it, and my trunk just says bong in giant letters with an exclamation point. And we just stared at it for a minute, and I'm like, that's a wrestling reference for the record, just so we're clear on that. And she's right. Like, okay.
Bung could be a Jay and Silent Bob reference.
Bung.
Yeah, so this WrestleMania is the return of the dead man.
Yep.
And they did the big build-up with it with Undertaker did the Buried Alive match with Vince,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Kane interfered and buried him alive.
Yep.
And then they did that whole storyline where, like, Kane came out and, like, did the eulogy.
Yeah, how long did Undertaker not show up for?
Quite a while. They
no,
stretched
that was
out,
Survivor Series.
Right? Oh, was it?
The Buried Alive match was at Survivor Series.
Okay.
So
that's
from
quite a while.
So from Survivor Series to Mania.
I remember because they
buried the American Badass, right?
They buried the American Badass. And then Kane cut that eulogy saying that the reason he did it is because he was ashamed of his brother because that wasn't his brother. His brother had become one of you. He was one of you. And, you know, he was not a monster like he used to be. And so, like, that was his whole purpose, his reason for burying The Undertaker killing him.
Before we get super deep into the storyline, and I'll let you run through that. I wanted to kind of talk about and point out, I thought it was real interesting because both at that point, Undertaker is the American Badass,
yep,
and Kane has been stripped of his mask,
yes,
and has also, you know what I mean, and to see how they both had kind of evolved, because we were in the era of Stone Cold and The Rock and Triple H, and you know what I mean, so like they had both kind of evolved out of their
Magical monster phase. Yeah.
And so I just thought it was interesting that, you know, Undertaker became like, you know, the American Badass, and he was this biker and, you know, tough, rough, sock 'em up guy with a lead pipe in his motorcycle. And Kane just became a cackling psychopath.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean? Like, you know? So I thought it was just a super interesting dichotomy, you know, watching that video package to look back and remember, oh yeah, I remember what Kane was like here. I liked that Kane.
Well, this is the Kane that was like lighting people on fire.
Yeah.
And, like attaching Shane McMahon's balls to the car battery and doing all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah, this was Psychopath Kane.
Yeah.
He was full on, like, John's losing it over here. I like this Kane too.
It was a good Kane. It was a good Kane.
I forgot all about that. Yeah, it was good stuff.
Yep.
So they're bringing back the dead man, I guess, here. And I always kind of wondered, like, what they're... Did Undertaker just decide it had run its course?
So, actually, interestingly, I just listened to Bruce Pritchard talk about this.
Oh, okay, cool. I should listen to that.
Yeah, it's a good episode. The Undertaker fought it tooth and nail all the way. The Undertaker did not want to stop being the American Badass.
Really?
He did not want to go back to the dead man.
Whoa.
And the main way, mainly the way they were able to get him talked into it was... presenting it mainly as a one-off for Mania, for Mania, you'd be the dead man for Mania. Then we can do whatever we want after that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they were talking to him. Pritchard said that one of his main problems was he didn't want to go back to working like the dead man.
Okay.
He didn't think that would work in the new era.
Well, and that's cool. It's cool that you bring that up, because one of the things I was going to mention was that he doesn't go back to
Correct.
Working like
yeah.
the dead man.
Yeah.
Like, he might come out and with mm-hmm. the trench coat and the hat and the music, but from this point forward...
Yeah.
He still works the way the American Badass worked.
Yes.
With some of the Undertaker things mixed in.
Yep.
But even his gear is like the American Badass gear. It's just all black now.
Right. Yep.
But, like, because he's wearing, like, the pleather pants now instead of the tights. You know what I mean?
The MMA gloves.
Yep. I mean, like, so it's an amalgamation of the two from this point forward.
Yeah.
I know why you're laughing. Yeah, that
sorry.
Word.
that word makes me laugh. Yeah.
So,
game.
Yeah. All right. So, storyline,
yes. So, Kane buried him because he's ashamed of him for not being a monster anymore. And then they just did this whole mind games thing for felt like forever,
mm-hmm.
where, like, the bong would go off randomly and Kane would start getting a little freaked out. And then, like, the mind games just got, like, progressively more insane. Like, at one point, the ring starts floating off the ground.
Yeah.
While Kane's in it. So I do kind of like the whole setup for this, because Kane thinks that he's going crazy.
Yes. Right.
And Kane does not believe that the Undertaker's really going to show up, because the Undertaker's
dead. Kane is already crazy.
Right.
That's true.
But, like, in his mind, he murdered the Undertaker. Like, straight up, he says, I killed the Undertaker.
Yeah.
He's dead. He's not going to show up. But that's the whole, like, point, because he's the dead man.
Yep.
You can't kill what is already dead.
Well, when the match opens, like, Kane is just freaking out.
I know.
Dude, he is screaming at him.
Awesome.
It is, yeah, it's amazing.
Taker just stands there all stoic and staring at him.
He is all in on that. Yeah. That's probably my favorite Kane moment of his Kane's entire career.
Like, he was probably juiced about this whole story.
Oh, I'm sure he was, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is that chance. This is an interesting chance for Kane, because Kane was still trying to get out from under. You know, he had been Isaac Yankum. That hadn't worked. He had been the fake Diesel. That hadn't worked. They brought him back. They put him under a mask, and he was a Undertaker villain. You know, so this is like, finally, Kane's come into his own. He's owned this gimmick. Mm-hmm. He's created this gimmick. He's developed and evolved this gimmick. He's you know, pretty set veteran by this point. He knows, you know, he came into this match. You know, he's had several WrestleManias. Yeah. So, like, this is his chance to come in and be like...
It's Mania. It's the 20th Mania. He's ushering the dead man back in.
Right.
And it's a repeat of the, you know, the first Kane match, which we talked about at the time, which, I mean, I liked as it was.
Yeah.
But, we discussed the there were issues with that match.
Yeah.
And part of the theory that I had, at least, was, you know, I mean, Kane coming in pretty green, a really big moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there takes a lot to be prepared for something like that.
Yep.
And I thought he did admirably, but there were clearly some issues.
Yeah.
Now he's got a chance where he's got several years under his belt. He's been in spots like this before, and he gets a redo.
Yes,
on
a
the
redo.
Same sort
a redo.
Of, you know, and he's got a chance to really make it shine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, that opening is pretty awesome. Druids for the entrance.
Druids for the entrance.
Which is going to be a recurring theme from this point forward for everything today.
Although... Did you guys notice the torches were dripping and there were guys chasing after them with fire extinguishers?
I noticed.
They did a really good job of not catching them, except for the few times that they did.
Yeah.
There was what, 6 or 8 druids and 6 or 8 dudes with fire extinguishers. That's an exaggeration. I think I saw 2 guys with fire extinguishers.
And Paul Bear.
Yeah, but they were good at hiding them, so there could have been 20.
There could have been.
And Paul Bear was there.
Yep.
Looking real big.
Yeah, well, that was...
You're no son of mine! That was awesome!
Well, let's talk, because they got Kane to the ring, and then the druids came out, and then we got the, and the crowd went crazy for that. Like, that was the moment.
Yeah.
The crowd was all in from then on.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, I guess, starting the match there.
Too.
Earning everything.
Yeah.
Oh, so cool.
Although so then the Undertaker comes down.
Yeah.
And there's no denying it this time, because he had the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
So he was like full on Old West mortician, magician, wizard.
There he was.
Undead wizard. Old West undead mortician wizard.
There he was. He's back.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cowboy hat and the trench coat and basically the American Badass gear, but all black.
Yeah.
But it was still really cool to see it. His hair, like he had just started growing his hair back, so it was a little like... It's like
fringy,
not quite there yet. You know, he looks by the next WrestleMania, he looks way better.
Yeah.
But like here, he's still in this weird transition phase. You can tell he didn't have enough time to really get it.
Wasn't quite helmet head, but wasn't quite not helmet head.
Soccer mom-esque.
Yeah. So the match itself, I felt like there were quite a bit of missteps in it. Like, even right at the beginning, like, Kane's doing the whole you're not real thing, which was really cool. But, like, he reached out and he touched Undertaker. And Undertaker immediately, like, jacked him in the face. Kane turned away to sell, and Taker's still, like, throwing punches at the air. And I was like, well, all right, there's how we're starting that off, I guess.
Right.
And there's another part that was pretty early on. Because Taker did the dominant thing right at the beginning. And he goes for the last ride.
Yeah.
And they're a little too far away from the ropes.
Yep.
Because, like, this is already, like, I was thinking about it, too. This is already an awkward way to do it. Because he basically, like, Kane reverses the last ride for, like, a back body drop.
Right.
And Taker tried to snake eyes himself on the ropes out of
missed.
It.
Yeah.
And was too far away. So he did that thing where he just reached out and grabbed the rope and took a real weird, awkward bump because of it.
Well, see, I thought that they were thinking they were going to backdrop him to the outside.
That's what I was thinking, because I was like...
I thought they were going to, like, and maybe, they, like, you're very probably right, but I took it the same way as Snake Eyes because of the way he came down.
Yeah.
Because he starts coming straight down, but it's very possibly just realized, nope, not happening, gotta not die.
Because immediately I was like, why would they go for a Snake Eyes in that fashion? Because the momentum... would send you, like, front flipping, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's a real weird way to set up for a Snake Eyes. So, you're probably right. He was probably trying to throw him over,
that's
but was too far away.
A little too far
and
out.
Then it just was a real awkward bump because
that's
of
what
that.
I thought.
Yeah, I was looking.
I saw one. There's one, and I, you know, I wrote down the quote, but I can't remember what the spot was now. Because there was totally a spot where they just boffed something, and you can kind of see, like, you even catch Kane laugh about it. And JR tries to catch it real quick, and he goes, Kane there, laughing in disgust. And I'm like, laughing in disgust is not a thing you do.
You know? I don't remember seeing
Thanks,
him
JR.
Yeah. Good cover, JR. Oh, nobody in the history of laughing has ever done it in disgust. The other thing I had wrote down that I noticed, that because, you know, they keep grabbing, like, one of the things is they've always grabbed for, they grab for choke slams, but The Undertaker and Kane have also always just straight up choke dudes, and, you know, you grab them, you know, Taz would always call it, got that goozle, he's got the goozle on him, every time they grabbed each other for a choke in this match, which was many times, it was just like a straight up throat chop.
I know.
Heard it every time, it was like,
slap.
Yeah.
And the crowd always reacted to it. That's what I was. They were always like, like every time somebody's neck got grabbed because of the big slap. Totally.
I was like, ugh. Every time I was like, ugh.
I felt like, because Kane hit a real good choke slam on Taker in this match, which was beautiful because Taker got way up there. I have always liked Kane's choke slam. I think better than Undertaker's choke slam.
I'd agree with that.
Kane, I don't know. There's something about the way Kane does it that
honestly,
looks better.
I think Kane's a little stronger than Taker.
Probably. Because I was going to say, Taker does choke slam Kane in the match, and like he kind of falls when he does it. Like he gets him up to here, and then like you see his hand. Like they do that thing where they cut the camera angle real quick because his hand came off of his neck, and he just kind of like... pushed him down to the ground. It didn't look as pretty as Kane's.
Yep.
Kane's was beautiful.
You know,
Kane was in real good shape for this match.
Too. Yes, he was.
Kane was super jacked.
Yeah, he looked good.
Well, you know, Kane has always been known as one of the guys, though. He remembers where all the gyms are. He's one of, like, the got-to-get-my-workout-in guys. And, like, he knew where all the gyms were in town and every town they went to. And he was known in the backstage as one of the guys... So I've heard. He was known as one of the guys that, like, you know, go to Kane to find out where the gym's at.
Yeah, cool. That's
so
cool.
You can definitely see it in this time because he was jacked. Yeah. Taker was jacked. Yeah, and it almost feels like I was laughing because it almost feels like these guys that have been struggling through the Monday Night War. Now they've got a little money, maybe they're living, you know what I mean? You know, maybe they're eating a little better, maybe they're, you know, taking a little more time, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like there's been this shift where, like, I don't want to say they're a little better at what they do. You know what I mean? But they look like they're doing better. All of them. Taker's jacked. Kane is jacked. This was the era. Well, this was right after the era where Triple H. Actually, converse of that, this is the era where Triple H starts to get a little soft. You know? So maybe Triple H is eating a little better, you know?
Oh, man. So this match just ends with a nice, clean, straight-up tombstone. Yep. We don't even get the reversal thing.
Nope.
He just
the tombstone.
Scoops him up, tombstone,
quick match,
one, two, three. It's very fast.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's what it probably just needed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This was all about the dead man coming back.
Yep, yep. And it wasn't like... It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. It was totally it was passable.
I like it way more than you guys did, I think.
Yeah, well, and you know, I don't even hate it. Like, I don't want to give that impression. Like, the last match was just like one of those surprisingly really good matches.
Yeah.
And this match is just a fine Undertaker match.
This is by far one of my favorite Kane matches.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was saying. Like, and part of it is like the story that went into it, because the match itself was fairly basic. There wasn't a lot of like really notable things that you would think about.
Right, right.
Talk about like, oh, I remember when they did that or whatever. Like, it flows through and it's pretty basic. I didn't catch that many missteps. I know like that backdrop spot.
I think there was
a couple of times where like they definitely flubbed, but I didn't find it as a standout point of the match. But I really did like the storyline going into it. Also,
I agree.
And granted, I'm also a Kane mark.
Me too, though, kind of.
Yeah,
always.
Well, yeah,
have, you know?
I know you are.
And like, I agree. The storyline.
So I thought it was one of those where, like, it may not have been the most noticeably well worked matches I've ever seen, but I really enjoyed the match.
Yeah. I you know, like, when it happened.
Jaren's out.
When it happened, I was all about this because I was excited about him coming back as the dead man. It didn't matter what happened in this match. I got everything I wanted out of it at the time. You know what I mean? Yeah. And
they could have came out there and beat each other with pool noodles for 10 minutes and you would have flipped out at that time.
He still had the music. Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, let's move on to the next one then. This is
WrestleMania 21.
Okay.
WrestleMania's going Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
And this is The Legend versus The Legend Killer.
Awesome. I loved The Legend Killer
storyline.
That was a fun angle. Randy Orton looked so young here.
Oh, man, he looked like a child.
And his music was not his music yet.
Yeah,
it was the old song.
Because I got that's the first thing that his music hit, and I was like, "What is this?"
Hey, nothing you can say. Yeah.
Oh,
I forgot. Well, about that.
That was super early 2000s. That was like the other early 2000s. That pop rock.
Yeah.
You know, that totally. Was so.
Yeah. I have no reason to interrupt to backtrack for this. It's not important enough to, but I'm going to do it anyway. That when the entrances when Kane came out on that Kane match, they had this like background like cityscape where everything was just
on fire. Yeah.
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 Like that really like that looked awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
I was like,
cool.
That's the Kanest thing I've ever seen.
Yep. Well, it was New York. It was the backdrop in New York.
Yeah.
And yeah, the whole thing was on fire when he was coming out. Super awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
All right, now back to Randy Orton.
Right,
sorry.
So Randy Orton. So this is the first time they actively promote the streak in a video package.
Okay.
Because we saw them count, because they do the count, they did like a countdown.
Yeah.
So they had all his past opponents, and then when it got to zero, the zero was the O in Orton. Yep. You know what I mean? So
and Orton referenced like ending the streak.
But he referenced a lot, because they weren't calling it the streak yet, but he referenced a lot like, I'm going to do what no man has ever done. I'm going to kill the legend of the Undertaker at WrestleMania stuff. Like, for sure he was referencing it, but I'm just to say that they weren't calling it the streak yet.
Yeah.
I thought I heard the word streak, but I'm probably, I will defer to you on that.
Maybe, but, they may have said the word streak, but it's not, it wasn't the streak.
Well,
Yeah, is what I'm saying. Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm saying, like, that's like the part of the evolution.
Yes,
to that.
For
totally,
sure.
Yeah.
Totally. For sure.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that to be as, like, disagreeable as it came out, you know?
So I like Randy Orton looks so young, and it's he's been around for forever now, which is kind of crazy to think
about.
Now
he has,
nowadays. And you know, he's one of those guys who, I mean, you see him now and you know that what he's capable of, but he also hasn't done anything like super noteworthy in a while, you know. So sometimes it's kind of cool.
He's a veteran who doesn't feel like a veteran.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed. So you go back and you kind of watch these earlier matches of him, and you can see him a little hungrier.
Yeah.
And you kind of like remember like, oh yeah, like Orton kind of had it going on back then.
Yeah.
And, like, even, in, like, you can tell in this match, like, he is, like...
almost a little over-eager.
He's, yes. Yeah, he's, yeah, like...
yeah. You can really tell a couple of times.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You could tell that he's just, like, a little overexcited. And, yeah, you know, he knows he's in, like, a pretty prominent spot here getting, mm-hmm, his match against The Undertaker, so... I don't know. It's kind of neat.
Just watching that video package, even back then at the fledgling part of Orton's career, just watching RKO after RKO after, yeah, RKO.
Yeah.
Was that Stacy Keibler? Yeah. Yeah. She took it better than
a lot of the guys.
Oh man! Yeah.
Yep. She was his girlfriend for that moment, and
yeah,
was that his heel turn? Did he drop her on his heel turn? Because he had been with her, and I feel like he was still kind of a face when they were doing that, and then
he was a face when he won, when he got the belt, right? Because, right, Evolution turned on him,
yes,
and that instantly babyfaced him,
right?
And they ran with that for a little bit until H decided that he wanted that belt.
Yep.
So, so you're, well, probably right.
Yeah.
That's probably when they did the turn, and,
right,
then he did the Legend Killer thing. You started taking out all the legends.
Yep.
I thought that was a cool gimmick.
Yeah, that was a great.
That was,
yeah,
such a cool gimmick. Yeah. And it was
especially for a guy as young as he was.
Well, yeah, and I liked the idea of that, like, building up to, like, that turned into the build to try to end The Undertaker. Like, that just, yep, works,
right,
so well.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Like a young, hungry guy trying to make his name for himself.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
you know, from a story perspective, what better way,
yeah,
than to just go beat up a bunch of names?
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
So I would say I remember even at the time being a little disappointed in this match.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Nothing wrong with it per se. They were a little sloppy,
yeah,
and you can see Randy Orton's, like we talked about, his overeagerness. You can kind of see his greenness a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You almost get the feeling kind of like Taker doesn't quite know what to do with him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's a little, there's a, definitely a little bit of, like, it almost seems like, you know, Taker probably had a lot of appreciation and respect for Randy Orton and was kind of trying to keep up with the youngster, you know, when he probably should have taken a little bit more control and been like, hey kid, this is how we're doing it, you know. You almost get the feeling like he was kind of like, all right kid, what do you want, you know, what do you want to do, how,
yeah,
you know, I'm gonna make, yeah, you tonight, you know, yeah, type of thing, you know, instead of going, you know. So you get that, I got that feeling.
Yeah.
There's definitely some sloppiness in there, a couple miscues.
He seemed like he struggled to
the one that stands out was when, like, Taker, like, went to pick him up for, like, a last ride.
Yeah.
Fell over.
Like, yeah, I don't know if he picked him up too hard or if Randy just jumped too hard, but it just flipped so hard, and,
yep,
Undertaker just lost his feet
and then the commentary
on top of him.
Commentary was like, well, I thought he was going for a last ride, but he dropped him in this other maneuver.
Yeah.
Like,
they also tried to say, I think Randy Orton shifted his weight.
Yeah.
And just took the under, like,
and
it's
then
just...
Undertaker sat up and we got that camera shot right on his face and he just drops the F-bomb. Like,
yeah,
he was like, F!
Yeah.
Like, you could tell he was legit mad.
Yeah.
And I was like,
you know, this was,
that was a bad time to get a close-up of Taker's face.
This was the one on the commentary, too. I think it was this one, because they did it in both the next two matches. Cole says something, and in this one he's like, you know, he talks about Taker being 12-0. He's like, this would be like a team winning 12 Super Bowls in a row. And I'm like, no, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's not the
same, not the same thing at all.
Yeah.
I think this,
like,
is, this is
even if I get your point, that's a dumb point.
This is also, I think, the same match where Michael Cole says no less than 12 times throughout the match, Undertaker's known for giving us memories at WrestleMania, and this is another one right here.
Yeah.
Legit just says that 12 times in the match. Like,
yep,
oh, cool, thanks, Michael Cole.
Yep.
Another memory. Yay.
Yeah.
You're good at this.
It was like he's trying to just get, you know, one of these is going to be in a highlight,
yeah,
video.
Yeah, he's trying to get a quote in,
right,
a highlight reel. That's totally the way he talks.
Yeah.
Like, Michael Cole is the exception that makes the rule or whatever.
Okay.
Like, for the people that just get pushed even though they suck until they're good at something.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Like, for whatever reason, they were like, we had to sit through 10 years of Michael Cole sucking.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, one day, we're like, oh, he's an okay play-by-play guy now.
Yeah.
Like, anybody else would have been fired 2 years into this.
No doubt.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, we talked about, you can still see the Undertaker's conditioning plan out here. Oh, Cowboy Bob comes in and hits him with the cast.
Yeah!
How amazing was that?
Our boy Cowboy
there
Bob.
Were a couple, there were a couple of spots in this match where it looked like they were going to give it to Randy.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be the other thing I was going to say. This was the first time, like they pushed the undefeated streak, and I remember assuming that Randy was going to win it. You know, so like I really didn't know.
Well, you can tell that really played into the crowd's emotional state.
Yeah.
Because when we started getting those close calls, the crowd really started reacting.
Right.
They were up on the edge of their seats when there was like those long, like the cast shot was one of them.
Yeah.
When he came in and hit him with that cast, like the crowd stood up like, oh no, he's going to lose right now. Yep. And then when he kicked out last minute, it was like you could see the relief in everybody's face.
Yeah.
This, I feel like, is one of the first times that we started getting those reactions.
Yes. And this is also the first time to that point. Also, this is kind of the first time where we get the modern Taker Mania match.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know what you mean.
Yeah. This is the first time that it's a little longer.
Yeah.
They put a little more emphasis on the false finishes at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so this is kind of a transition match in that point.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like the fact that this is like a legend killer match.
Right.
At this point, he has now just become a legend.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
He's like not really the active guy anymore. He's a legend now from this point forward, I think. And that's the way he's kind of treated by the crowd.
Like, it's funny, because I've been thinking about this as I'm watching some of these, too. Like, we're already in a phase where, as a viewer, the more they start to push stuff like this, not like I was expecting Undertaker to retire any minute now,
right.
But, like, you already feel like he's getting older, and, like once they really start building the streak, it became a thing where every year it's like, all right, like, when is he going to decide to hang it up, and when are they going to really push that spot? And that was sort of like the build-up to a lot of these matches, is this going to be the year?
Right.
I always expected, whenever the streak ended, that'd just be the last time we ever saw The Undertaker.
Yeah.
End of story, and that'd be it. And so, like, there was a lot of weight to the like, from here, not so much here necessarily, but within the next couple of years here, as they're starting this thing, every Undertaker match, to a small degree at least, became, like, is this his retirement match?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like you said, when they really start building that in this one, I didn't necessarily think that, but this is, like, sort of that transition period that kind of got me into that line of thinking. And then, like, the funny thing, we were talking about it the other day, like, about that, as I'm looking back on that now, being like, man, Undertaker was really starting to get old, I thought, as a fan at that time. And then he did it for 15 more years.
And
like, his best Mania matches are still to come.
Yes.
Yeah, like, I was by gonna far, say, we haven't know? Even reached pinnacle
yeah.
yet.
Yeah.
So he's already starting to go, he's a little long in the tooth. I wonder how long this is going to go. Oh, or he's amazing.
Yeah.
Or he's like, he's going to go on a run pretty soon of having hands down best match on the card for like 3 Manias straight.
Yeah.
You were talking about the cash shot being awesome. How awesome was that? Also, like, Cowboy Bob took that boot to the face off the ring apron, like a champ, man.
He
like
just ate it,
and flew off the apron, and like full on bump for Cowboy Bob. It's like, get it, Bob. Yeah, that was good stuff. And then we just got the tombstone into the 1-2-3, right?
Yep.
They even did the reverse this time. Like, Orton picked him up for the tombstone, and then we got the nice transition into it. And
then it was a good clean.
It was good clean.
Good
transition.
Clean lift and clean drop. Yep.
And then that did it. So yeah, it was fun. It was a fun match.
It was a good match.
Had some good moments in it for sure.
It is a good match, but when you hear
Orker
Tatum at Mania.
Orker Tatum.
Yep. When you hear Orton Taker at Mania, it is not the match that springs to mind.
I will say, I feel like I felt about this match exactly how you guys were describing the Kane match.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, it was good. Like, I liked the build. I liked the match fine. I just wasn't anything super impressive.
I think
part of that is I didn't have specific memories of this match. I just looked at it and went, like you said, Orton Taker, this is going to be phenomenal. And then I watch it, I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's okay.
For sure.
I remember the legend killer thing leading to this, but I didn't remember anything about the match.
Yeah.
So despite the fact that Michael Cole told me that there were 12 memories in this match, I did not remember.
You didn't get any of the memories?
You were wrong, Michael Cole. You were wrong.
See, I take away some bad memories because they do. They really, really screw up the old school.
Oh, that's right.
I have remembered that since watching it live. I remember how bad they screwed up the old school.
That was Orton's fault, right? Like he was in the wrong spot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can call it Orton's
fault. I don't even know. It was weird because like it looked good up until Taker jumped off to hit him, and then all of a sudden, like he just. Like fell on top of him instead of hitting him in the shoulder like he usually does. Yeah, that was awkward. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to the final match we're going to talk about today.
So the final match is at WrestleMania 22.
Uh-huh.
It is versus Mark Henry, the world's strongest man.
Yeah.
And it is a casket match.
A casket match. First ever casket match at WrestleMania. You were talking about being thrown off by Orton's music. I was way thrown off by Mark Henry's music.
Because it wasn't his music.
Well, what was that randomness? Did they change it for
the network?
They covered
up, yeah. Well, they changed it for the network. It's probably a music rights thing. Who knows? A lot of times, also, that depends on what copy they put on the network.
Okay,
so...
So what was he using at this point? I could have swore he was using
the 3-6 Mafia song.
Well, that's like his current music. Like, if he came out right now, he would come out to that.
Right.
I don't understand why that couldn't be
because,
on the
network. Because at some point during a video release, maybe they didn't have those rights, and that's the copy that they...
Yes. So that stuff can change.
I love his entrance music, so that was that like totally ruins his
it ruins it
because you're like, what is this generic player one stuff that he's coming out to right now? That's not Mark Henry's music. Go and get the wig split. I love that song. So Mark Henry and Taker, and we get Druids again. The Druids push out the casket.
Yep. Yeah, the Druids bring out the casket.
Then Mark Henry comes out.
Then Mark Henry comes out, and then Taker comes out.
Then Taker comes out.
Oh, we didn't talk about now I'm backtracking to the entrance. Taker and Orton, he did that weird slide.
Oh yeah,
way.
He floated.
Yeah, he floated.
He floated to the ring.
They hadn't even been invented yet. But in my head, he's just on one of those segways.
I thought it was kind of a neat effect though, because like they filled the entry with smoke, so you couldn't actually see the floor, and he just hovered across the smoke.
It was a neat effect, except you could see him start and him stop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they shot it so clearly.
Yeah,
you know, you see him kind of jerk and wobble when they get going, and then you see that kind of lean when he stops. So had they shot around that, it would have been even cooler.
I noticed randomly that one of the Druids was just chewing gum, and that kind of made me mad. So I was like,
wow.
I was like, this seems like something.
You were frame by framing this thing,
no,
weren't
man,
you?
I don't know. They're just walking out, and one of the Druids is just like chewing gum, and I'm just like, that looks like something Vince would scream at you for. Like, what are you doing?
That'd get your developmental contract pulled.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's going on there, bro? What are you doing?
Well, I couldn't help but notice that moving us back to WrestleMania 20, one of the Druids was just clearly Rodney Mack, the one right out in front.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't even notice that. Wow, that's awesome.
Because he's got that unmistakable... He was the pit bull, but he's got that unmistakable jowl. He just, like he's got tumors on his, you know, face.
That's
like
a person I forgot existed.
Rodney Mack. That's where Teddy Long got his music that he just kept forever. Because his music always starts with Mack Militant. Yep. And it just stayed that way forever, way after Rodney Mack was gone.
That's right.
Remember?
You've got a match with The Undertaker.
Oh, man. Yeah, we should be talking about Teddy Long every time.
No. Anyway, right.
So here we go. Mark Henry.
Yeah, so Mark Henry, Undertaker finally comes down. This match is the Thor the Dark World of the streak.
Find out what that means by listening to our other sister show, Marvel Goodyear, as we discuss all of the Marvel movies leading up to the new Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
You can't really fault anything in this match.
No.
It's the best Mark Henry has ever looked. Taker does an admirable job carrying him to a WrestleMania caliber match. But at no point did anybody think Mark Henry could win this match.
No.
At no point was Mark Henry capable of delivering above and beyond.
You know what this match felt like to me? And I'm saying this, we've already had like an Undertaker-Kane match in this show. But this match felt like a true return to the days of Undertaker fighting a random monster at WrestleMania just having the most basic.
Now, I think this is the
slay
best
the monster match.
I think this was the best of those matches.
Yeah.
That's exactly the feeling I had too.
Yes.
All I could just picture was like King Kong Bundy.
Yes.
And Giant Gonzalez and whatever else. You know?
So it looks like that out of context, except that we also got to remember that this is when Mark Henry like finally got his stuff together and was in the middle of like a pretty decent run.
Well,
I don't remember if he had had the world championship yet, but he had a decent little run with it after this or before this.
Yeah, I like Mark Henry. That's not meant as a knock.
No,
it's just the way it's presented and the way it's worked.
It's
just right along those lines.
And I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. But to say that, we have to acknowledge that the context is that's not actually what it was. And on the Bruce Pritchard podcast, which you should go listen to, it's really good, they talk about this match that up until the 0 hour, Vince was going to have Mark Henry win.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. Vince had Mark Henry set to win. He was super impressed with how Mark Henry had gotten himself together and thought, you know, saw big things for Mark Henry and was going to launch that and solidify that with beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And then, like, at the 11th hour, they were able to talk Vince down.
Well, you know, that makes me wonder, like, okay, so if this match was just like this match and then and then Henry won, that would have been a bit disappointing because this match just didn't feel like a... But, like, if it had been the other way, do you think Henry would have gave a little more and the match would have been something different?
No.
I don't think either of them gave particularly.
Yes. I don't either,
What I think is it would have changed the light you saw this in.
Okay, maybe.
You know, because the fact that we go into it going, you know, there's no way Mark Henry's going to win this match, and then they have a totally decent match and Mark Henry loses this match, versus if you go, there's no way Mark Henry can win this match, and they go out there and they have a pretty decent match and then Mark Henry wins. You know what I mean? Like you look back, like that one little change changes the way you see this match.
You're totally right, because, and we're jumping way ahead, but when Brock Lesnar beat Undertaker, that match was garbage.
Yeah.
All the way through. Just garbage. And then Brock Lesnar won.
Right.
And now everybody remembers that.
Yep.
Because it was a memorable moment.
Yep.
Spoiler alert.
Spoilers.
Yes. Sorry to spoil the streak
Spoiled
for you
the
guys.
Streak.
Oh, man.
What are we even doing here, Danny? Why? Just
a bunch of fans.
That's
just
it, folks.
Out.
Thanks for listening. What? The streak ends.
I was like,
What am I even listening to right now? I'm sorry, fans. I don't think you actually sound like that.
We got several more instances of Michael Cole trying to make sports analogies.
Man,
this match
and the memories thing.
I will say every one of his sports analogies, I kept going, it's not right either, but it's better than the Super Bowl thing.
Okay, so people have always complained about Michael Cole, and I don't feel like I've ever particularly been like anti-Michael Cole.
Right.
Like, he's never bothered me too much. But watching all of these matches and hearing him as much as we have, it has been grating.
Yep.
It's been really just like, oh my God, dude, stop. Really?
He was the worst for a long, long time.
It
makes me wonder if he actually is good now or if he's just gotten to like mediocre and that sounds amazing.
We're just so used to it now that we just don't even.
He is especially bad with Taz.
Taz
is a fine commentator. I don't dislike Taz when he's with JR. I didn't dislike Taz when he was on TNA. TNA is awful, but Taz was fine.
It wasn't Taz's fault.
Right, yeah. Him and Michael Cole on these manias are just the worst.
I liked Heyman. The one time we got Heyman.
Yeah, love Paul Heyman.
And, you know, like King and JR are always great,
yes.
I think. But I feel like after watching all of these, my favorite combo is still Heenan Monsoon. I feel like that dynamic is just, I don't know, man.
Heenan Monsoon will always be third to me.
Really?
Jesse Monsoon is my absolute favorite.
Okay, so Jesse Monsoon's really good,
and
too. You're
and
right.
JR King, I got.
They
kind of
defined an era for us.
I got to put
right?
them. I admit to a bias there.
Yeah.
But I J.R. King, I can't not put them second.
J.R. King to me is always the one that when I go back and watch from that era, always feels to me like the thing that I didn't appreciate when I should have.
Yeah.
Like, not that I ever didn't like them or whatever, but I didn't realize that they were on that level.
I kind of like. Vince's commentary too.
Get out of
town. I like Vince.
Get out of town.
I'm the JBL fan.
No.
JBL when JBL was commentary. Mm. Oh man.
There's plenty I like.
I did not love JBL's commentary, but he is responsible for my second favorite commentator moment.
JBL to me was always reminiscent of Ventura. Like not as outlandish, but he filled the same role.
I can see that for sure.
So, but yeah, your commentary moment.
My favorite, one of my favorite commentary moments. JBL is commentating a match with The Miz against the Boogeyman, and he keeps going back and forth, calling against him. He's not calling.
He doesn't like either of them.
Right, and finally Michael Cole is like, you keep flip flopping here. I can't tell who do you like. And he just goes, I hate them both, Michael Cole. If I had a hand grenade right now, I'd throw it in the ring and just be done with it. I was like, that's amazing.
Although, in hindsight, now you look at that and you go, oh, yeah, JBL really hated The Miz.
Yes.
That was like a real feud backstage.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Kicked him out of the locker room.
Yeah, that was like one of those famous hazing moments of JBL's. So, Mark Henry gets put in the casket.
Mark Henry gets rolled in the casket.
I did, mercifully. I mean, like, it. There's no great way to end one of these matches.
Yeah. Hey, great, strong tombstone on a 400-pound man.
Exactly. That tombstone was
like, I was really happy with the way that they did. Just got him in that great move.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Nailed him and then rolled him in. And, you know, like, they didn't try to do anything too spectacular.
Right.
They just went for something real good there.
Yep. Yeah.
I also like that when they had that corner spot that led to that awkward power bomb, Michael Cole was just going, last ride to the 400-pounder. I was in there going,
that
was a fall over power bomb.
Right.
That's
Taz tried to say that at one point. Taz was just like, it's kind of more like a running power bomb. And Michael Cole's like, that was a last ride power bomb to the 400 pounds. He was so adamant. I was like,
this is a memory you guys will always remember. Taz, you're ruining my DVD quote.
Yeah. Well, I think
that made the tombstone look that much better. Because I don't fault Undertaker at all for just power bombing the guy from the turnbuckle.
Yep.
As heavy as he is.
You ain't picking that dude
but
up.
But then, like, he just yanks him up and delivers that beautiful tombstone. Yeah. You're like, wow, okay, there it is.
It looks so good, too. Yeah. Like, that was one of the good tombstones. It was awesome. We talked a little bit about how that last match was like one of those modern day Taker matches where there were all the falsies and like close falls and oh my god, Taker might lose this.
Yep.
There was none of that in this match at all.
Well,
there was that spot in the casket that was as close as you can get to that in a casket.
That's part of the problem with the casket.
Yeah, that's kick true. Out at the last minute of a casket.
Yeah, they just fought. They just had a fist fight inside the casket.
Yeah. They had him laying down in the casket on his back.
Right.
And that's as close as you can get to a falsie in that match.
So this also has to be one of the rare instances of Undertaker winning a casket match, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, because he always loses
if
those.
If not the only.
He always loses the casket matches. Just like Kane always loses the Inferno
matches. Inferno match, yep. Except that one.
Yeah.
Glad that wasn't on a WrestleMania.
Oh, my goodness. Cool. All right, I think
that'll do it for this, right? Yeah, that'll do it for this episode.
Awesome. What do you have on tap for the next episode?
Next episode.
Uh-oh.
Is we're in the good stuff.
Oh, boy.
So we start with WrestleMania 23, which is Undertaker versus Batista.
Okay.
For the World Heavyweight Championship.
Ooh.
That was after Taker won the Rumble, right?
Correct. The year Taker won.
Which was the year that him and Michaels went, like, was that the year him and Michaels went, like, 45 minutes and had a match in the Rumble? Oh, my God. That was such a good Royal Rumble.
I might watch that before I watch that match.
Yeah, you can. It's on the network.
Is it?
Wouldn't that be weird if that one wasn't? We got everything except that one time Undertaker and Shawn Michaels had an awesome Royal Rumble.
Then WrestleMania 24 is Edge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome.
Okay. For the World Heavyweight Championship again. And then
that was a title match.
Then we have WrestleMania 25, which is the first Michaels, and WrestleMania 26, which is the second Shawn Michaels
match.
So
what you're saying is we need to set aside a lot more time to watch these matches. Because yes. Now we're in like the main event, long, yes. Really good Undertaker matches. And boy, next episode's going to be...
Next episode is the deluxe episode.
The deluxe episode. Yep. These are probably the best years, right?
Yeah. Yes. This is the best run, for sure.
I'm excited.
This is the best run.
So get to watching, guys, so that you can join
us
for the discussion.
Keep up with us, because these are great matches, all of them.
Yeah. And you're welcome.
Yeah. So two episodes left. We'll catch us up to the end of the streak. So hopefully you guys have been enjoying these conversations. I know I have enjoyed the conversations and reliving a lot of these matches. It's been very cool. Very cool stuff. So don't forget, you can subscribe to us or follow us on any of your podcast preferences, platform preferences. I think that's what I tried
Good
to
one,
say.
Bro.
Yeah. I just, Michael called it. Bro.
Cool story.
Yeah. It's a memorable podcast.
We promise we'll all take some speech classes before the next time we...
I don't promise that.
So we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, all of those. So please follow us. Give us a rating. That will also help us out. And also worth noting, it's just part of the Geek Easy podcast feed. So you can also listen to our Marvel podcast as well as our main show where we talk about movies and wrestling and toys and just all kinds of geeky stuff on there. Video version is also available on YouTube, so please check us out on YouTube if you prefer the video platform. We would also appreciate it if you subscribe. We recently broke 500 subscribers, so thank you guys very much for that. That is awesome.
That's awesome.
All right, guys. Well, until next time, get to watching. We got some good matches.
Bong.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.